It's great to see you this morning. The last time I was here, we all had shorts and t-shirts, and it's kind of hard to think of that now. My wife enjoyed coming here the last time, and unfortunately, she wasn't able to come today. She's still working as a nurse, so those of you who are nurses know you have weekend duties, so she had to miss out this time. But anyway, I'm glad to be back here with you. It's an honor, and I love to express what the Word of God says, and I thank you for that honor that you've given me today to guide you in studying God's Word. As we start out 2024, let's continue with last week's topic of the resolutions of the heart. And I want to apply a key quote that Pastor Mark mentioned at the end of last week's message. It's by Kenneth Boa. He is a theologian whose specialty is in personal spiritual formation. That's a topic I really like, and that was one of the books we had to read in seminary, and Mark probably took that class as well, on personal spiritual formation. And this is what Kenneth Boa said: being and doing are interrelated, but the biblical order is critical. What we do should flow out of who we are, not the other way around. External action should derive from internal reality, and this requires a rhythm of solitude and engagement, restoration and application, intimacy with Christ, and activity in the world. You see, God is very interested. This is what Mark said last week. It's the process in developing us. This is what a fancy theological term called sanctification means. It means a process of growing, developing, and changing throughout our lives. See, the Bible uses examples of seeds, plants, trees, other living beings to describe personal spiritual growth. And Christ used a seed as an example of how the Word of God causes believers to change. Remember that parable that Jesus said, a seed can fall on different kinds of soil. It can fall on fertile soil or rocky or dry soil. It can grow and produce fruit, or it could dry up, be trampled, and die. Many studies in recent years here in the United States show that believers in Christ are not studying the Bible. In fact, the organization, Our Daily Bread, just acquired another organization, to encourage Bible reading, because we know that that's happening. Never has there been a time when the Word of God, the Bible, is so easily available, right? All of us carry it electronically in our pockets. Yet never has it been read so little. Hundreds of years ago, people died to get the Word of God printed and into our hands. And today, we have it in our hands, easily available, and yet we don't use that app as we should be doing. Something is happening. Why are we not meeting in small groups, in Bible classes? Why are we not engaging in studying the Word of God? This is why, especially in the last 50 years, there's been an explosion of erroneous doctrines and perspectives. I was in a conference in Panama just 2 months ago, and as I was talking to brethren of Latin America, they were expressing to me how much the United States is exporting horrible doctrine and how it's invading their churches. We are being discipled by very many different sources, different media, right? Mass media, internet media, but we're not being discipled by the Scriptures. And many live in ways that don't please God because, as Boa stated, they're not learning and applying God's Word personally to them. So they experience anxiety, fears, bitterness, jealousies, anger. And we see that how they express it in their social media pages. So then, how can we grow? How can we develop? So we need to remember this. The Bible encourages us that continual internal change drives healthy external actions. Internal change drives healthy external actions. You see, God wants and expects believers to grow spiritually throughout our entire lives. One day I'm looking forward to retire, my wife especially. She's tired of working weekends. But we can never retire from our spiritual growth. We may rest, we may take days off, nice vacations, but we can never take a cruise, we can never take a vacation up at some lake from our spiritual growth and development. That we have to continue to do continually. And this is what spiritual growth means, continual personal transformation. And then applying, not just sitting and expanding our trivial knowledge so we can win on Jeopardy in that category, right? We can apply what we learn and make an impact on the lives of our friends, our family, our coworkers, our classmates, even our fellow citizens. The lives of all believers should be conforming to what God taught in the Bible. Last week, Pastor Mark stated the evidence of Christ's change in us is what Paul calls the fruits of the Spirit. And they are the results of believers engaging with Christ to cause internal change. And that change causes us to demonstrate externally a brand new behavior in our words, in our ideas, and in our actions. See, all believers who are growing in their faith and friendship with God will show changes in their lives, and these characteristics will be evident more and more in our lives. So let's look at Galatians 5, 22 through 24, and let's look at a list that Paul mentions. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires." These should be the expressions of what's inside of us, and it's driving what we say and what we do. Let's look at that list a little bit slower. Love. Love is respecting, valuing, desire the best for others, not disrespect. It's affection. Joy, being pleasant, happy, having a good humor, not complaining at Myers, having a positive attitude toward others. It's being at peace, seeking solutions, asserting what we know is true, but not aggressively, without anxieties and fears. Being patient, willing to withstand difficult times, being able to wait for resolution to our problems. Goodness and kindness, being a benefit to other people, doing the right thing, serving others, no matter who they are, what nationality, what political perspective or religion they have, in order for them to receive a benefit from us. Being faithful, trusting in Christ, in His Word, resisting temptations, fighting them, resisting sin, and moving forward in faith and trust and reliance in Him, keeping our word. Humility, not calling attention to ourselves, not boasting of our blessings or our accomplishments, not constantly showing our latest hairdo or what vacation we have on Facebook. It's not calling attention to ourselves. Gentleness, loving and others, serving and caring for them, not in aggression, not bullying, not owning whoever it is that you're against on social media. On the contrary, it's not seeking revenge as pleasure, but it's seeking to benefit even those who are our enemies. Self-control, restricting our impulses. We follow an order of life and discipline, and we resist doing evil. And what's great is that we can measure ourselves to see if we are growing, maturing, developing, obeying Christ by examining and applying this list. And this is for all believers, for men. Recently, someone said, hey, aren't you mad at this attack of masculinity? And I said, well, the Bible gives us a list of very masculine behavior. Do you exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, self-control, gentleness? Because if you do, you truly are a man. Not what some radio talk show host tells you. This is what the scriptures tell you. This applies for women. It applies for young people, teens, teenagers. This is the measure of God turning and changing us. This is what's going to attract people to hear Christ. Believers, we are ambassadors. That means we're representatives. And when people want to hear Christ, they're going to hear him through us. And they're going to reject him if they see in our lives a consistent pattern that we reflect the exact opposite of Christ teaches. Because we live in North America, most people know many of the basic teachings of Christ. And even though they may not come to church every Sunday, they know what Christ teaches. And they look at our lives and they say, your external actions don't reflect what you supposedly supposed to be going on in your heart. This is why God is calling us on a daily basis for continual change, for examining ourselves, for growing in these characteristics. This is for all of us. And we can produce this type of fruit, this type of benefit, this type of results. They can exist in our lives. Of course it's difficult. Of course we're going to have failures. Of course we're not going to be 100% perfect. But our calling is to be marching in that direction. And our spiritual lives may represent a stock market graph, right? It goes up and down, up and down. But the trend should be climbing in an upward direction. We ought to set aside time and space to study for ourselves God's word, to be involved in prayer and in worship as well. And this affects what we do. It changes us. It affects those who are around us. And it leads to real change in us and others so that we could be more and more like Christ and carry out his will for our lives. You know, when we want to develop our body, right, we just said some of our New Year's resolutions to go to the gym, and we still have yet to finish last year's subscription. And we have to develop our body. We have to be involved in training. And good training is not sporadic. It's daily, and it's consistent, and it's the same for spiritual growth. It has to be a daily, frequent, not once in a while event. These are called rhythms. Remember, Pastor Mark mentioned that term often last week. Rhythms, they're practices, consistently done. And Boa calls this solitude and engagement. It's taking time for ourselves, turning off all the media that's surrounding us, focusing our mind on what God's word says, taking the time to communicate with him, to see how he responds to us and what we're saying, to show our love and affection, right? How weird would it be if we were married, got home from work, just grunted at everybody and went back to our bedroom, right? There's something wrong with us, he would say. What's wrong with Dad? Why is he just grunting? That's not communication. He doesn't talk to us. That's not contact. It's not affection. The same with God. We need to take that time alone. Focus. Turn off all the distractions. We need to find a time of day that's the best for us to pray and to study God's word. It could be early in the morning. It could be at midday, at p.m. Isn't that great? There's no specific time. There's no list in the Bible. You have to pray at 5:23 in the afternoon. You must get up at 4:25. If not, you're disobeying. God gives us a lot of freedom. And he's all made us differently, in different ways. We all have different personalities, different ways of learning and applying. So God gives us all that freedom to use, to find a time of day when we can focus on him. And we should do it as often as possible. Every day or every other day, whatever. But try not to skip this special time. Take as long as you want or as long as you can handle. 5 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour, an hour or more, whatever, two times a day. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Find what works best for you. And I know it's going to be very challenging to do it daily because of all the demands of life, especially if you're a young parent with lots of little kids, lots of powerful distractions. If you're busy at work, it's the same. But if it's not done, we will be weak. If we don't eat appropriate meals, we'll be weak. Our body will break down. The same spiritually. If we're not engaging with God through His Holy Spirit, we too will have difficulties. And we'll have difficulties in confronting the challenges of life. Let me suggest a balanced method for solitude and engagement. Pick a Bible study passage. Spend time in worship with God. Then pray. And then take time to write some notes down in a notebook, a computer, or your tablet. Follow a consistent list with order of Bible passages. And ask yourself that day, what does this teach? What is it saying? Not saying to you, what does it say? And then you can look at the application. How do I put this into practice? But what does it say? Take time then to worship God, to praise Him, to thank Him, to express your love with Him. Right? You take time to do that with your children, with your spouse. Do the same with God. And then pray about your concerns, your needs. Pray for others' needs. Take time to repent, because part of change is recognizing your sins, your errors, your areas of growth. Ask God for forgiveness of that. Ask Him for power to be different, to stop doing the same things over and over and over again. Then write down your thoughts. Write down the lessons you've learned, the changes, the things you're working on. Try to measure your progress somehow. Hey, I'm doing better. I'm not spewing out curse words when someone cuts me off on Ford Road. I'm finding that I can control my tongue, that I don't have to express deep anger, that I can funnel it in a much better way. And then write down things you see in God's Word that you can apply right away. This is very flexible. It can be adjusted to be as long or as detailed as you want it to be. But the Word is, it's balanced. It's not all one thing. It's not all just study. It's not all just prayer. It's not all just worship. It is study and then worship, praying, reflecting. It's a combination of things. Just like you should have a balanced meal. Vegetables, meat, right? And of course, don't forget dessert. You got to have a little bit of everything for a balanced diet. The same spiritually. You can't just be doing one thing all the time, over and over again. It's balance. It's seeking God. It's worshiping Him. It's hearing from Him. It's reflecting what you're learning and then making a deliberate plan to put into practice something you know that God is telling you to do. See, personal private study and prayer has many benefits. It's the way to get greater understanding and wisdom and power in daily living. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." See, when we're in this process of daily communication with God, it gives us spiritual strength and power for daily and difficult challenges. It gives us peace when we endure really hard and painful and challenging times. It helps you to be at peace if you're on an emotional and spiritual roller coaster. And you can keep a record of your progress, the lessons learned, your failures, your victories, and the effect when you apply God's word. Without spiritual growth, there's no power in a believer's life. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Those are Christ's words. Apart from him, we're not going to make it. We can then change our lives and impact the lives of other people. We can be less susceptible to false teachings, to crazy thinking. This year could be a very challenging year as our culture in the United States has to deal with an election. How do we endure all that? It's because we keep focused on God's word. Look what Paul said in Ephesians 4, 14 to 15. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in the deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ. Again, that term growing, it's a process. It's an active process. It's not static. In fact, that process should drive us to do what Paul says in Romans 12, 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. For me, the key word in this passage is the word, but be transformed. In Greek, that word is metamorphosis. And of course, that's the word you've studied before in junior high, right? When you studied the change from a caterpillar to a butterfly. It's a complete change in nature, a total transformation. Boa calls this restoration and application. We're supposed to change our life. God restores us, and then we are to go out and apply. We learn, we apply, we repent, we apply again. We repeat, just like shampoo. It's the idea is not to stay static. God's calling on us is never a rest from activity that involves him. Yes, we rest physically. We have to. This is why we take a Sabbath day. For us, it's a Sunday. For my wife, a nurse, it might be Monday, right? Because she has to work. Whatever day it is that you rest physically, do it. Take it. You need it. The same spiritually. You need to take time apart so that God can do his work of transformation. That's our goal. Our constant growth, changing, not staying static, not holding on to traditions, faith, or history, not preserving our culture. The idea is to apply God's word, regardless of what he calls us or takes us or places us to be. Growth requires discipline. Like an athlete, it requires constant practice. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get that prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, and they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. There's a goal behind hard training, and is the ability to finish well. Every runner in a race, 5K, 10K, a marathon, half marathon, all of them want to finish. They know that some are superior than others and they're going to make it to the finish line easily and quickly. Others, they're going to just maybe walk through that line. But the idea is to walk across that last line. My son is a runner. He ran in cross country in high school, later in college, and now as a young adult, he keeps running. He runs in 5K races across the area and sometimes even in other states. But he wins a lot of them, not everyone, but quite a few. And if you follow me on Facebook, I boast about his winnings a little bit. I'm a proud dad. Something I couldn't do, obviously. But he practices every day, and he runs 10 miles as if they were nothing. That's why he wins 5K, because it's more than twice the amount. He runs when it's hot in August. He runs when it's cold, like this morning. Got up and ran in the snow, in the cold. He keeps running. He keeps practicing. Even if a race is not on the horizon, he keeps running. He wins. That's why he wins. Not because he thinks about winning, not because he tries to psych his mind out that he's going to win, because physically he runs in the cold and in the heat, in the rain or when it's dry. The same for us in our spiritual lives. We have to seek God even when we're in crisis, when we're fighting cancer, when we're getting divorced, when everything seems to be falling apart, or when everything is going well, we're getting promotions. we're doing great. We married a great spouse. We have great kids. It doesn't matter. Any opportunity that we find ourselves in, we go into training and we persistently and consistently walk with God, receive from Him, and then turn around and give to others what we ourselves have received. The Apostle Paul understood the old self had to die and a new self had to be born. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the reason why Boaz said intimacy with Christ and activity in the world is necessary. God wants us to be affecting this world, and the only way to affect it appropriately according to His will is to be more and more like Him. And that only can happen with that consistent, hard training that we go through on a daily or close to a daily basis, where we're changing and we're transforming so that we can be a new creation. Now, the Apostle Paul understood that it's hard to live this new life. Believers experience an inner conflict of the old self with the new self. So at the end of Romans 7, this is what he said: "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." The Apostle Paul didn't despair because he failed. He didn't give up. He started again, and he repeated this over and over. And this wasn't this heavy burden, okay, go out and do more and more to gain God's favor. We're not doing this to gain God's favor. We're doing it so that we can fulfill what He's called us to do. You see, Paul and believers today receive grace. That's God's favor in spite of failing. And if we get discouraged, we drop off in this daily communication, God doesn't throw us away. He still loves us. He still cares for us. He just wants us to this grow naturally from our heart, just like we want to communicate with relatives and our friends. We enjoy the FaceTime with them. The same with looking forward to FaceTime with God. And He will give us power to continue to live out our new beginning. He won't reject us for our shortcomings. He won't reject us for our failings or when we're very inconsistent. We don't have to give in to despair. We don't have to give up. If you remember last week, Pastor Mark said that many people very quickly give up on their resolutions, usually within the first couple weeks of the new year, because they despair. It's too hard to do. And so they don't implement their new year rhythms and patterns and goals. This should not be a burden. It should not be a burden, just like it isn't a burden to communicate with the spouse that you love, with the children that you hold, your grandkids that you love to give presents to on Christmas. That's not a burden. You don't care. You love that. That's an integral part of your life. And the same with seeking after communion with God to be changed, regardless of your age. It doesn't matter if you're 80 or 8 or 18 or 48. That should be a hunger and desire. I want to see God today. I need to set aside time for Him today. I want Him to change me to be like He wants me to be. I don't care if I'm in my 80th decade of life. I still got a lot to learn. I still have so much to be thankful to Him and to show Him my affection and love. He doesn't give up on us if we can't stay in a steady pattern. What He does is He refreshes us, and He wants us to keep on track and growing. And so we are to renew our faith and our obedience consistently in a pattern through growing and learning and applying God's words. We rest in him because he lifts the burdens. He gives us the peace that we need through that constant contact. And he won't reject those who have placed their faith on him if we fail, if the old self becomes too powerful and we give in. We can still approach him, ask forgiveness, repent, and he gives that. That's what's called grace, the forgiveness. Then he gives us the power and the ability to stand, to continue forward, to resist, keep the old patterns, and to develop new ones. You see, our calling as believers is not to stay the same. We are not to stay the same, but to be constantly changing, to be growing like Christ. Old friends and relatives who don't see you after a few years should comment, "You're different. You're not the same." And that shouldn't be an insult or a challenge. It should be a point of pride, a medal. Good, I'm different. I'm better. I'm glad. Forgive me for the way I used to be. I'm glad you've seen differences in me. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to grow. Do you want to join me? Do you want to walk with me together as we are being transformed? I still have a lot to learn. I don't know everything. But why don't you come and join me so together we can learn and be the people God wants us to be. God does not torture us. Christ does not torture us, taking us through challenges. He guides us through them to conform into his image. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." We are to renew. We are to renew through a close relationship with Christ. Next week, you have a great opportunity to start getting into that rhythm of prayer and praise and worship and learning through dedicating that special time of prayer after Sunday morning worship. And I think I understood it correctly. You would like to repeat that pattern every month. Take advantage of that. Here's a great opportunity for you, not just privately this time, but collectively with your brothers and sisters in Christ, approaching him specifically, a time where you make contact with God and then you receive also his power and his benefits so that you can apply it for the rest of the week, so that you can touch your area, so that people can see that you are an ambassador for Christ and that they want to know the Christ that you love and serve as well, because they see in you a pattern of change. They see you failing, they see you getting up, they see you apologizing, they see you repenting, and they see you changing. And they see that cycle in you. Not perfection, but constant and continual growth. What a wonderful opportunity. You can get started next week on that right here in your own congregation. So I encourage you to put into practice the art of slowing down physically, taking time for him, expressing your love for Christ, bringing your concerns to him through your requests. Let's seek intimacy with Christ. Let's apply his instructions. I believe, I love the 21st century. When I was a little kid in the 20th century, I was so excited. I was hoping the 21st would come soon. You know, I used to play with flying saucers around our Christmas tree because I love the future. I love science. Yesterday, I got word that one of my aunts, she's 98, passed away in Mexico. So her daughter, Eva, called me up on the phone and said, "Can you tell the family?" Isn't that a weird request? She lives 1,800 miles from me and asked me on a phone call that looks like it sounded like she was just down the street to call the whole family from 1,800 miles away. Well, I can do that today because of our new technology, right? And my family, extended family, scattered throughout Mexico, the United States, and even in France. So in a matter of 20 minutes, I either texted or called the entire family. Wow. We live in the 21st century. And the operator was not in Monterrey, Mexico, was in Detroit, Michigan. And so I was able to call all these time zones, excuse me, different places geographically. We live in great times. all that was done on my new phone. And this is not an iPhone commercial. But it's exciting that we live in this time. And on it is that app. All sorts of apps, right? I have Logos, I have Bible Gateway. You can get them too, and they're free today. Isn't that even more wonderful? It's so cheap, it's so accessible that you have daily access on your phone to God's Word. Take advantage of it. Be grateful you live in the 21st century. There are still people in this planet who die for having the Word of God in their hands. How can you dare turn your back when others are dying for wanting to have it on paper? And you can have access anywhere in the world to it. Yes, you do have a commitment to make and a decision to make. It's to be close to God and to apply it. This world needs you. Your city needs you. Your family needs you. You can't afford to be weak. You can't afford to be sick spiritually. We're going to live in a very challenging year. Are you going to be ready for that challenge? Will you be walking close with Christ? Will you be letting Him transform you so that your words and your actions reflect Him and not what the culture wants you to be, a bully, bitter, angry, complaining? And I want to challenge you today as well. If you're not yet placed your faith in Christ yet, that you receive His sacrifice on the cross for you. You see, Christ took the punishment you deserved. He received the pain and the sorrow that you deserved for your life. And He did it to forgive you from all your wrongs. And if you receive that sacrifice for yourself, if you commit to obey Him, He will give you His Holy Spirit who will be with you at all times and will lead you to a refreshing new beginning. I invite you today, come, commit to obey Him, to love Him, and He will never abandon you. He will lead you through your life to be like Him, whether it's a challenging time, whether it's a painful time, or a prosperous time. He promises never to abandon you. He doesn't promise to make you wealthy, healthy, prosperous, but He does promise that He'll be with you every step of the way and that He loves and cares for you and He'll never turn His back on you. Those are the promises I can talk about because they're there, they're solid. I can't promise you other stuff that you want because, one, I don't speak for God, and sometimes God doesn't give us what we want. He has better plans. He has superior plans, even if they require walking through pain and sorrow, enduring heartache. But only it's because He will give you the power and sustain you to experience that in this life. Your ultimate rest will come the moment you leave this body through death. Then you'll be completely healed. Then you'll be free from maybe the pain of the past and sorrows. In the meantime, He does guide you. He'll give you power to overcome all those things that you have physically in your life or mentally or psychologically from so many years of a hard life. Today, you can walk in that way. And believer, today you have received a challenge that you can't afford to turn your back to Him because He never turns His back on you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, guide us in this new year. You know, Father, we already see the signs. It's going to be challenging. Give us, Lord, the ability to think biblically, to be connected spiritually, emotionally to You. Help us to reflect what You want us to implement in our lives. Change us, transform us to be more like You. Forgive us, Lord, for our weaknesses. Forgive us for being lukewarm. Forgive us, Lord, for listening to all the cacophony of voices through all sorts of media. And let us focus solely, completely on You. May those we encounter in our families, in our work, at our school, see You in us. And may we be faithful. In Jesus' name.